Let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and we start from verse 36. I suppose that all of us have a favorite story from the life of the Lord Jesus. Boys and girls, fishermen, carpenters, the Lord related to everybody. He was able to say a word or do something that attracted many, many kinds of people's attention. I don't know what your favorite story is from the life of the Lord Jesus, whether it's the story of his birth, or whether it's when he stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee, or whether when he broke the bread and the fishes and multiplied them. But most of us have a favorite story from the Gospels, the story of our Lord Jesus. I think one of my favorites is this story, which is the story of the Lord Jesus in the house of the Pharisee. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 7, reading from verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment or myrrh, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment or the myrrh. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. He didn't say that to Jesus, right? Who did he say it to? So, but Jesus answering, interesting, isn't it? Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. Speak up. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly or freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, You have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? Simon saw the woman, right? Do you see this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil, common olive oil, my head with oil that is not anoint. But this woman has anointed my feet with precious myrrh. That ointment is a different ointment. It's precious myrrh. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Isn't that a beautiful story? Would you say that was one of your favorite stories? Raise your hand. A couple of hands went up. I would say it was one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. The story of this woman at the feet of the Lord Jesus in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Now the first person that we see here is the Lord Jesus as the invited guest. He's the invited guest. You know, lots of people like to have a Jesus symbol in their house, right? Something that they can have as a respectable reference to Christianity or religion or Jesus. Lots of people have Jesus symbols. In Colombia, South America, where we work, lots of people have a coffee table in their living room. Now, I personally don't like coffee tables because I kick my shins on coffee tables all the time when I walk through a living room. But anyway, lots of people have a little coffee table. And usually on the coffee table, they have a big family Bible opened to Psalm 91. And Psalm 91 is the psalm that's supposed to protect us and keep us from evil. And it's used as a charm in lots of families. It's a Jesus symbol. It's a religious symbol. And society in general, you know, likes to feel respectable sometimes and talk about religion. And so this Pharisee, he didn't want to be outdone. He invited Jesus to have a meal with him. It's very interesting that he came into the Pharisee's house. He said he came in and he sat down at the table. Punto, as they say in Spanish. Period. That's all it says, right? He came in and he was invited to the table. He's the honored guest in this Pharisee's house. You know, one of the first things that the Lord Jesus Christ said in his ministry was at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. Don't turn to it. Just let me read it to you. He said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's quite a revelation, isn't it? That someday people who have used the name of Jesus, have pictures of Jesus in their houses, have crosses around their neck or in their ears or on their church, many people who have used the name of Jesus will hear those words from the Lord Jesus, "Depart from me, I never knew you." This person thought he knew Jesus, right? And he wanted to have the privilege, the social privilege of having this famous and well-known prophet in his house. Now, we've got to be very careful how we think about the Lord Jesus, don't we? Because these people will stand before the door of heaven. They will stand before the judge of all the earth. And they will say, "Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. How come you're not going to let us in?" And the reason he won't let them in is because they were simply using the name of Jesus as a convenience, as a prestigious social name or item. But they didn't know him as their Lord and Savior. How about us this morning? Do we really know the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Or do we just use his name as a convenience, as an ornament, as a symbol of religion? We must really know him in order to get into heaven and to be accepted by him. So here we have this invited guest. And this guest, everybody said, was a prophet. Now, as the Lord Jesus sat at the table, a woman came in, right? Now, a woman was not supposed to come in when the men were eating. You know, we sit at the table all together, right? Father, mother, brothers, sisters, the whole gang, right? And it's so good to all sit at the table together. In lots of cultures and societies, the men sit at the table, and the women and kids sit out in the patio or on the steps, you know? Just down in New York, as I told you Thursday night, just down in New York, and the man and I sat at the table, and his wife and child and the other women sat in the kitchen. In the Spanish culture, very seldom did they all sit at the table together. And in that culture, it was the same. The Pharisee was sitting there with all the machos, all the men at the table, right? All these Pharisaical friends of his. And in comes this woman. She heard that the Lord Jesus was in town. And we know what kind of a woman she was. The Pharisee certainly knew what kind of a woman she was, right? And this woman comes in, heartbroken, crying, weeping, throwing herself down at the Lord's feet, and from the broken heart that she had because of her sinful life, her tears just flowed upon the Lord's feet and washed his feet. Now that was possible because they didn't sit at the table with their feet under the table, right, kids? Okay? She didn't get under the table to get at the Lord's feet, did she? The table was in the center, and they had low couches about that high. And they all leaned down on their left elbow with their feet outside, away from the table, see? And then with their leaning on their left elbow on their left side, they reached over and they took food off the table, okay? She wasn't under the table. She was outside, around the edge of the table, at the Lord's feet, weeping her heart out, and her tears were so much that she was able to wash the dust off the Lord's feet with her tears, and then wipe them with the hairs of her head. Then she anointed the Lord's feet. And the prophet, or the Pharisee, was looking at all this and probably embarrassed, right? Because this woman from the street, this prostitute, came in when he was throwing this fiesta for the Lord Jesus and all of his friends. And by the way, making a big name for himself, right? I don't think he was really interested in the fact that, you know, he was doing the Lord a favor. He was interested in looking good in the eyes of society. You've got to be very careful about that. He thought with himself, if this man were a prophet, he would think he's a prophet, but if he were a prophet, because everybody thinks he's a prophet, he'd know. Because prophets know, right? They have an intuition from God. They have a direct line to God, and they know the secrets of men's hearts. If he were a prophet, he'd know that this woman that's touching him is a sinner. You think the Pharisee would ever let her touch him? Not when anybody was around anyway, right? That she's a sinner. Of course, he wasn't a sinner, but she was a sinner. Right? And that's what he was thinking about himself. You know, many people have different thoughts of the Lord Jesus. What do you think about the Lord Jesus? What do you think he's like? Well, some people don't even want to have anything to do with him. Like that fellow said to Scott, don't smart mouth me, I don't want to have anything to do with that. They don't want to even think about the Lord Jesus. Because he's a threat to them, right? Many times. This man was thinking about the Lord Jesus. This man said, this man can't be a prophet like everybody says he is, because if he were a prophet, he'd know that that woman that's touching him is a sinner. And no prophet of God will allow a sinner to touch him. And it says Jesus answered him, right? Isn't that beautiful? Jesus answered him. Now, he didn't say a word. He was just thinking this all in his head, right? Jesus answered him and he said, Simon, I got something to say to you. Isn't that interesting? I first, you last. I have something to say to you. Now, it's very interesting that when Simon said, stay on, he uses the very same word from which we get the word prophet. A prophet is someone who says something openly in front of people, declaring the mind of God. That's literally what the name prophet means. Not just to say something beforehand, but to speak openly the mind of God to the conscience of the people. That's what the word prophet means. If he were a prophet, he'd know, okay? Lord Jesus said, I've got something to say to you. And Simon says, okay, prophesy. Say it. And so the Lord told a little story about the man who had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence, the other owed him 50. And when he didn't have anything to pay him, he freely forgave them both. Now, the Lord said to Simon, Simon, what do you think? Which of those two men will love their Lord the most? Simon said, well, that's easy. That's easy, right? Any of us could guess the answer. I suppose that he who owed him most. If you owe somebody $1,000 and they forgive you, boy, you're really gonna love them, right? You're really gonna appreciate that. Somebody forgives you, you owe somebody $5, and they forgive you, well, so what, $5, you never miss it anyway, right? But $1,000, you couldn't pay it, and your friend said, look, what's $1,000 between you and me? Forget it. I freely forgive you. Well, you know, you're going to have him over a couple times for supper, and maybe you're going to wash his car a few times, right? You're going to love him, you're going to do things for him. Well, Simon said, well, I suppose the one that, you know, forgave him the most. Was forgiven the most. Lord said, that's right, Simon.
a worldly, material, financial basis, you're right. You can pronounce a right judgment. You got it together, Simon. You should be able to project that into other areas of your life. And he said to Simon, see that woman? Now, the word prophet was, first of all, a seer. In 1 Samuel 7 and 9, it says, he who in former times was called a seer is now called a prophet. Now what does this prophet see? A prophet sees the condition, the spiritual condition of his people, doesn't he? And a prophet sees the face of God and knows the mind of God and applies the word of God and the mind of God to the condition of the people. That's the prophet. He's a seer. He can see. Paul was looking for his uncle's bulls, donkeys, and in the way of finding, so he went to Samuel. Samuel, no, he'll ask God where the donkeys are, because he can see. He can see where they are. He's the prophet. He's the seer. So this prophet said to Simon, see that woman? Now Simon saw the woman, right? Simon saw the woman. And he says about the woman. Let's read it in verse 34. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. See this woman, Simon? You know, when I came into your house, you invited me to dinner, right? When I came to your house, you'd wash my feet with what? Now, that was a cultural and social offense. Boy, we're going to Pat's house for dinner today. And when I go to his house, if I don't shake his hand and greet him and thank him for the invitation, you know, in Columbia, he can take a gift, but we don't have it ready, Pat. So, if I don't do that, you know, I'd be offending him. And he invited us to dinner and, you know, no recognition, no thanks. The socially accepted thing to do was to have a servant at the door and to have the guests take off their shoes, sit down, and allow the servant to wash the guest's feet. Now, I don't think Pat's going to do that this afternoon, right? Because it won't be dusty on the way, my feet won't be hot, it might be washing, but we don't do it, okay? But the acceptable thing to do is to wash the person's feet. But Simon didn't do it. Proud Pharisee, right? This man had a prophet. He was just making a name for himself. But he wanted the privilege of having this guy, his friends know that he invited him to dinner. Then he also said to Simon, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Now, Simon wasn't expecting to kiss the Lord's feet, was he? Nobody did that, you know? After the servants washed the feet, the host wouldn't get down and kiss the person's feet, but at least he would give him a hug and a brazo, as they say in Spanish, and kiss his cheek. Isn't that nice? And we give one another a holy kiss before you go out to each other a holy kiss, right? Holy kiss. What a privilege to be able to kiss the cheek of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that only one person kissed the Lord's cheek. And who was that? Judas. I like Uncle Dave's phrase, he kissed the door of heaven. But it was closed to him. He didn't get it. The privilege of kissing the Lord Jesus' cheek. You see it on television, you know. Italians, Latins, they always kiss each other on both cheeks, right? We don't do that so much. Why? I guess we kind of lost that. Columbia, we always do it. We go down there in Columbia, right? We give each other holy kisses as we go to the meeting. He missed the privilege of expressing his love to the Lord because of pride. I'm going to kiss him. I'm better than he is. Missed the opportunity. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. And then he also said about the woman, my head with oil, I was not anointed, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. There's two kinds of oil here. One oil is a common olive oil that was used to do precisely this. After a long journey to get to the person's house, the person would anoint the guest
head with oil, a fragrant olive oil, refined olive oil. But this woman got an alabaster box of ointment. It was precious. It was costly myrrh. The Lord Jesus received myrrh 5 times in his life, from his birth to his death. And she poured all that costly ointment on the feet of the Lord Jesus. Anything that this woman did, that Simon failed to do. So, what did the Lord Jesus say? Wherefore I say unto thee, to the woman, about the woman, setting to Simon, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins. Notice the next phrase. What did he say? Does he overlook the sins of this woman? Absolutely not. He was a prophet. He knew this woman committed many, many, many sins. She had sinned many, many times. You know, the Lord Jesus knows all about our sins. He knows where we've sinned and how we've sinned. And how many times we've tried to cover up our sins. He knows all about it. He said to Simon, her sins, which are many, are what? Forgiven. There's two words for forgiveness in this story. When the creditor frankly, freely forgave the two debtors, his 500 pence and 50 pence, that's one word for forgiveness. That's the word we use to forgive each other for offenses and hurts and so forth. To graciously forgive it. But this is a different word. Her sins which are many are what? Forgiven. They are removed from the record. They're blotted out. Only God can forgive sins using this word. How about your sins? Are they forgiven? But you receive forgiveness for your sins. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Why? For she loved much. She loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same love of little. And he said unto her, thy sins are removed. They're forgiven. The Lord Jesus only forgave the sins of two people in all of the recorded gospels that we have. The paralytic man was let down by the four friends through the roof to the Lord's feet, and he said, be of good cheer, my son, thy sins are forgiven thee. This woman, who came in behind the men as they were eating and poured out her broken heart at the Lord's feet. And he says to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. How about our sins? Are our sins forgiven this morning? Do you really know that the Lord Jesus has said to you, my son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven? You have that experience in your life to know that every single sin, offense that you've committed before a holy God has been forgiven. This woman loved the Lord Jesus. She had loved many people in her life on a human, fleshly basis. But this man she loved because he knew he came to forgive her her sins. If you have not received the forgiveness of your sins, you come to the Lord Jesus. Paul closes that great letter to the Corinthians by saying, if any man or woman does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, what? How does it end? Let him be accursed, cut off from the presence of God. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? It was very important that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to love you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has shown his love to us. Christ has proven that love by dying for us. Greater love has no man in this, but a man laid down his life for his friends. Have you received that love? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? Have you received the forgiveness of your sins? We're going to close in prayer. If you you have sinned that need to be forgiven before God, you ask the Lord while we pray to forgive you. He'll say, just like he said to Simon, her sins, which are many, might be many, are forgiven because she loved much. Shall we pray?